that one better.
Yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers.
Yes!
It's hockey season, Michael. Gotta have it. I gotta have it.
With the weather out there today, that puck's blowing across the ice, I can tell you that.
Welcome to Playmakers, everybody. Happy Wednesday afternoon to you all out there. Thank you so much for joining us. You got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by my good man, Michael Comer, is with us right now. Michael, thank you very much for being here.
Glad to be back, and not short notice with other things going on, also known as deer season.
Yeah. Shout out to everybody this season, too. I've heard nothing but good news from all my hunting friends, so that good seemed like a good one.
Yeah, a lot of my friends had some good luck. My cousin shot an absolute monster. I got a nice one, but ran into some stuff with that one I'd never seen before in a deer, and that was, I mean, nothing bad, but
it's still interesting.
It just goes to show that some people are just jerks.
Yeah. You know, and what a perfect segue into sports and where I actually wanted to go with one of our stats of the show a little bit later.
Oh, jerks. Okay.
Yeah. It'll be perfect. It'll be the theme of the show, maybe. We're going to, Michael, you got me. right back at you, man. Same here. We got to have our Gotta Have It game of the week, our Burn the Boats game. Michael and I will get into that with our college and football, NFL and college schedules. We'll also get into a couple of other things. I want to talk about some of the Hall of Fame nominations for the NFL. A couple of other interesting things in there, too. But first, our favorite way to start the show with your calls. Good afternoon. You are in the game.
Hunting sucked. I don't know where you guys were, but it sucked.
Oh, yeah? My daughter had a good outing, and I heard from Terry this morning that it went pretty good for hers. I heard some good news from the people that I talked to.
Yeah, I was able to see deer every time I went out. I went on opening day, saw 9, and then I saw 10. Or no, I saw 8 opening day. I didn't go out the second day because I had to go to Green Bay. That Monday I saw 10, and that Tuesday I saw 9, and I got my 8-pointer, and that was all she wrote because I did not want to sit out in the cold.
Mm. Boy, I wish I was that lucky. I saw 2 on Thanksgiving, and that was it.
Oh, boy.
All season.
Yeah, you saw them right when they were going underneath your car, right?
Right. Yeah, right. That seems like that would be my luck. This is why I don't hunt.
Right.
That's exactly how hunting would go for me every single time.
Hey, James, look in the parking lot. There they are.
Yeah, that's about it, too. That's about it. That's all right there. Kev, what's on your mind this afternoon?
Well, with what Terry was picking on us about our thoughts and feelings when it comes to sports, is just the last night's game. I mean, I guess we can say that take a positive out of last night, that the Bucks, kept the streak going. They're one of the top seeds in the in-season tournament, so that's the good news. But, boy, that Badger game last night, it was frustrating. And to see, you got Crawl, he gets fouled out with only scoring 2 points. I mean, if he would have hit his average, they probably would have won that game last night. You listen to the talking heads over the day talk about that game last night, is that Michigan's going to be tough for a lot of teams in the Big Ten with having those two big guys and the way they play. So I don't know. It was a frustrating, knowing that how well the Badgers have been playing, and to see how they played last night, that was just kind of frustrating.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things for me with that one was it almost had been, had they been blown out or had they never really been in it, it might have been almost easier to swallow. Okay, this was just not our night. But there were moments where it felt like they could have had that game. And that what makes it frustrating. But I also think that's what makes it encouraging going into playing not only Marquette, but the rest of your Big Ten schedule.
Who's the coach at Michigan now?
Yeah.
That's my legitimate question.
That's a great question.
Because
I wanted to say Juwan. I was right there, right about to say.
He's not there anymore. Okay, because I was going to say, if it was to Juwan, man, I would have been a little more discouraged because I just don't like the guy with the junk he's pulled with Wisconsin in the past.
Right, yeah.
But it's Big Ten basketball. You're going to lose games. And, it stinks that Wisconsin lost to Michigan, the state that thinks it's a mitten. But, man, You can't be too discouraged, because you're going to take some lumps. You're going to deliver some lumps, and hopefully you just beat the Golden Beagles down in Marquette.
Wisconsin actually is a mitt. I mean, actually is. Like, so they're faking it, but Wisconsin actually is like in the shape. I love that. That's great. Man.
I
haven't heard that one.
I've got friends from Michigan. I got friends from Michigan that I'm like, yeah, you think you're a mitten. We look more like a mitten than you guys. I'm like, oh, you want to fight about this one? I get the UP then when I win.
Right.
You know,
and that's, there we go. Oh, we would love that.
Well, it's just like I got some other friends that I'm like, why do you have so many people from like the Chicagoland area come up and have property in Adams County? Well, it's because if you take a step back, Adams County kind of looks like Illinois.
Look
at a map. Look at a map.
That may be, you know what? I'm turning this mic.
All right. What's going on?
He does bring up a good.
You got to turn that mic off, because you just, you know, I'm originally from there, so come on.
Oh, right on. Yeah, we're both turning it off.
Oh, yeah, I get you.
I'll turn it back on, because I do agree with you about the Big Ten schedule, and it is one of those things. You get your black and blue, you get your grind through this. And if I had to say to you, you can win one of these two next games, tell me you wouldn't want to win the Marquette game. Because I feel like if you're looking for silver linings, you're looking for motivation, if you're Coach Guard, boom, you've got it right there. Like, there was a game you should have had. Go ahead and show the rest of the Big Ten what you can do. I know that the Marquette's not in the Big Ten, but this is still an opportunity to show in your state, and certainly Wisconsin recruits in this state. Anybody that's not paying attention, there's some great young recruits coming out of this state,
really
basketball-wise, and you want to keep them in state and have them go to your school. Marquette and Wisconsin are both thinking the same thing with that.
I mean, you're not going to keep them all. I mean, look at Con Knipple. He used to wear Duke. they used Wisconsin, I think Wisconsin Lutheran, but there's so many very good, talented athletes that you're not going to keep them all, but you're going to want to keep a bunch of them.
All the major states have to basically just already go look at their top recruits and say, well, one of them's going to Calipari. Well, one of them's going to Calipari. Every state, Florida, Wisconsin, Illinois, one of them's going to Calipari. So you hope to keep the other ones or something like that. And with the Big Ten scheduled being what it is, getting this one in and having it be a grind might be a good idea for some of these younger players, these guys. You got a great new transfer in there. You got guys that don't know Big Ten basketball. They know it now. That's kind of, it's different. It's part of the reason. What I love about Big Ten basketball now is everything I loved about Big East basketball when I was a kid. The reason that I fell for Georgetown was because of the style. I like John Thompson, but it was the style of play in the Big East. Especially losing a great name like Louis Carnesecca. You know, some of these great legends of Big East basketball and really college basketball and everything. Yep. That was stuff that I could have watched it all season long. They could have played literally the whole year, and I would have watched those basketball games. I love that style of basketball. Feel like Big Ten basketball is like that in many ways. You've got a lot more three-point shot now, of course, and everything, but you've still got to be able to put together a team that can grind, that can play hard basketball, that can go up against a Purdue, that can go up against some of these teams. That maybe they're not going to be in the top 25, but they're going to give you a hard game. You're going to have to earn that win.
Right.
Yeah, and I agree with that. Just kind of go back to his name is Dusty May. He was a David Emeritus Kaplan men's basketball head coach in 24. He's the 18th coach in history for the Wolverines. But
thank you for looking that up. I will say, though, you could be making that up, and I'd have no idea. I have no idea. Oh, well, yeah, that's really good.
He said he had six straight winning seasons at Boca Raton. He was Florida, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, anyway. But the Big Ten basketball, I mean, that just – I still think Big Ten basketball, maybe I'll do some research here the next week or so. I'd be kind of curious, you know. I know lately we haven't had a national champion come out of the Big Ten, but before probably the last couple of years, I would say we've got to have quite a few within the Big Ten that have won the national championship, or at least have been in the Final Four. You know, with the streaks, you know, how they kind of make those streaks, because We're hard nosed. I mean, it's just Midwest basketball. I don't know how the Pac-10 teams coming in are going to fare. I mean, I think UCLA's ranked in the top five, or they're up there too.
Oregon's been good over the years. They've knocked Wisconsin out of the tournament.
Always an interesting team.
The Big Ten is going to be tough to win it this year because of what teams have came in
What happened in football with the SEC and the teams they got and the teams the Big Ten got, the same thing is going to happen in college basketball for the Big Ten and not so much the SEC. They're going to be tougher in the SEC, but not like what the Big Ten is.
Right.
It's a different different ball game. And those teams are going to have to learn our style of play, too. Oregon, it's a lot different than on a football field. On a football field, you can muscle around. You can do a lot of that stuff. On the basketball court, talent don't win games. It'll help you get to the point of it and everything, but you've got to be able to play as a team. You've got to have and again in the Big Ten, you've got to be able to grind. As far as the Bucks though, I'm glad you brought this up because I thought I'd be alone on this one. I'm a fan of the in-season tournament with basketball, only because I've always been a fan of like the Maui Open. And that's what I think of it as in basketball. I don't think the NBA is marketing this thing and doing it right, but I do like the idea of having these fun little in-season tournament things. Because it's such a long season. Why not make it a little? I don't blame them for trying to
add some flair to it or something.
I don't think they're handling it very well. I don't think they're marketing it good at all. But I do love the idea. I do because again, I like the Maui Open. I like the Cranberry Classic that we just had with Assumption and everything.
The Maui Maloff tournament in the NBA. Let's do it.
And I'm hearing it has failed. It has already failed. I apologize. Everybody, I don't know what we were thinking with
failed
that.
Faster than me at a math test.
It was
man.
Really rough. It was a rough go. But Kev, so in this one, we've got in the East Atlanta, New York facing off Orlando, Milwaukee. You got Dallas and Oklahoma City in the other side, and Golden State and Houston. Could be kind of interesting. What I think I like about this tournament the most is what matters the most. This giving a team a chance at and young players a chance to have a. It's not the playoffs. But you get a little taste of what the playoffs might be like a little bit, with a little bit more on the line than just a regular season game. You can't have enough of those reps. Especially if you're a team like Milwaukee that is trying to prove itself to itself as well as through the rest of the NBA.
Well, and if you think back to it, how the season started with the Bucks.
Oh boy, yeah.
I mean, at one point they were 2-9 or something like that, you know, and now they're.
I saw Doc Rivers' house on Willow.
So it's going to be an interesting season, an interesting tournament. I like it a little bit, but I'm not a huge NBA fan. I mean, I follow it, but with them not able to be able to see many Bucks games on TV because of them not to me. They'd rather show the New Yorks or the Los Angeles, even though they're not very good teams. They put them on, but I try to follow at least online and things like that. So
I think a part of it is paying attention enough so that when football's gone, you can kind of jump into it a little bit and be like, I understand a little more now. I love the NBA, and that's part of my game. That's part of what I'm doing is paying attention a little bit just so I can jump back in when I really need to, but when I need it. But right now, I'm like most people, I got football on the brain 24/7.
Yep. Sure do.
Things like with the NBA too is it's starting to turn into be like the NHL. Nothing really matters until playoffs.
It breaks my dad's heart, but yeah, you're so right, man. Yeah, and what's worse, that would be okay if the stars didn't treat it that way. It meant something to Michael Jordan to play 82. Mm-hmm. It meant something to him, and he knew that there were people coming at game 32 that had never seen him play before. He wanted to be out there to make them to see that. When they talk about the greatest of all time, I don't think that they talk about those things nearly enough of what makes an athlete truly great, and it's those extra things. It's not just the score and the points and all that stuff and everything. It's that extra little bit. It's similar to coaching. And what it is to be a great, I think, especially a college coach, which I think is one of the most difficult jobs in the world, to coach not only those egos and the different, every day the plays are, things are changing and there are people working to counter your systems and all these things. along with all that, you are also trying to help raise young men and trying to teach them what it is to be a man, what it is to be a good person in this world, to have sportsmanship, to treat this game like, you know what, we get to play a kid's game for a living. We got it pretty good here. Let's go ahead and enjoy that. Let's go ahead and appreciate that. How to, one of my favorite phrases and favorite lines I've ever heard in a song, Chuck D, never let a win get to your head or a loss to your heart. It's important. And then there's Ryan Day, who can't not only beat Michigan, but when his team is acting a fool on the field, like both teams were, were. But this is your home field, and you've got to stand up. You are the highest paid government employee in the state of Ohio. In the whole state of Ohio, there is nobody who makes a paycheck like Ryan Day. And what is he doing during that whole situation? The same thing he was doing during the whole fourth quarter. Just a look of a guy that looks like he just got dropped in there. Like he's never, right. He has no idea what's going on. He's never looked at a football game before in his life. He's never seen any of this. The look on his face, it was only made worse by the dye job. Like that don't help. That really doesn't help. The reason I bring this up, Kev, is what to talk about it with Michael here and you, if you had anything. But last time we were talking about buyouts, Michael, and my number of the show was Brian Kelly's buyout, which is like 60 mil or something.
Unreal.
Ryan Day's is 37 mil. You had brought this up, Kevin. I didn't know if we had a chance to really come back to that one, so I wanted to bring that come back around to that. His buyout is 37 mil. Outside of a national championship, I'm guessing he's going to be collecting that at the end of the season.
Yeah. Well, I think Fickell was like right around the 24.
Yeah.
I mean,
chump change. Yeah. Nothing big.
and then yours. I mean, yours is sitting right around the same time as But like what Randy was saying the other night, how high your buyout is.
Yeah, my buyout's really high, very high. At least I want to say last time I looked at it, I think it was like 40, 50 bucks, something like around that. Yeah,
mine's so high, they haven't even hired me.
We're working on that. We're trying to figure that. That's one of the little sticky areas right there. You got a great agent. I got to tell you, you have a great agent.
He's a secret.
In all seriousness, with the fights and all the breakouts and all these things that were going on. It's not only dumb and it's not only counterproductive and everything, but there's the arguments that are going on right now are really disappointing and dumb by the majority of people regarding this stuff. So many people just want to make headlines. So many people just want sound bites and nobody really wants to solve the problem. For one, I think you have to look at every situation as its own case, but you also have to look at it as two separate things. There is the game, and that's one thing. And a fight going on during a game is a whole other subject. Yep. But after the game, that's just it. It's the opposite of everything that we're doing this for. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. And if you are any kind of person, if you're Ryan Day, you are telling your team, this can happen, A or B. We win, they win. They win, they go out there, plant a flag, show the whole world the class that we have, show the whole world how we can handle this, that we are not so, that we have enough, like, man, I can't imagine being upset about somebody planting a flag. Get out of here. What are you talking about? You just lost the game. Where was your pride then? Where was your pride when that came up? Like, let them do their little thing. Who cares? Who gives a dang, man? This is my argument with this. And my biggest problem with all this is, where was the energy when you needed it? Like, that is ridiculous. And the idea of, for one, that planting a flag makes you a man as much as going out there and fighting somebody over it. What are we doing?
Look at Wisconsin and Minnesota. I mean, they go chop down the goalposts. There's no fights going on there.
Yes.
It's just
yes.
one of those things, you know?
You got to take it. How many times have we seen in the in championships won, especially in football, and you're seeing the confetti coming down, and you're seeing the winning team celebrating, and what do you see over on the side? The losing quarterback watching it all, taking it all in, using it as motivation for next year and everything. That's what
I'm
this
down
is
with
about.
That. Yep.
Yeah. The idea of, I think the whole planting the flag thing is when Baker did it, that was the one time. I kind of feel like that was it. I feel like he kind of, it was like jumping the shark. It was cool, but it was also kind of like in the moment thing, and it was an of its time thing. Now it's getting a little bit like storming the field. It's like, hey, the number 13 team beat the number 14 team. Let's storm the field. Like, it just gets, I mean, it's getting old. It is... not to be Jimmy serious here, but it's just a by luck of the draw that nothing too overly serious has happened yet. And I don't mean to be that guy, but let's be honest. In today's day and age and all that, it's not far-fetched to think that something even worse could have happened than pepper spray in that game right there. Both teams handled themselves like fools. Both teams don't deserve really. I think that if you really want to show something here, you do more than fining. You actually get some accountability involved in this, and you make these players go out there and face this stuff and actually talk about it and everything. I'm not saying suspensions.
No.
I don't think that. But I think they should have to be in a press conference and have to answer for this. Their faces. We don't see their faces, especially in football with the masks and everything. I think that they should have to – what truly being an adult is about, accountability – owning your mistakes and having accountability and going out there and being, yes, I was a 18-year-old man in that moment and I acted a fool, but now I am an 18-year-old man facing the world, facing the public, and owning this. Yep. That's what real learning would be. And before any of that, any of these networks, every single network, NFL Network, Fox, ESPN, all of them, every single one of them should shut up. They got nothing to say about this, because every single one of them, what do they do all season long? The battle of hate. Hate, hate, hate. Fight, war, battle. That's all they do, is hype this stuff up and make it make it more than it is. This isn't war. This isn't battle. It's football. Get over it. I love this game. I just got done telling you all I can eat, sleep, and breathe is football. Mm-hmm. And even I understand, having lived with actual soldiers, having lived with people that have actually been to war, that when you do this, that's what drill sergeants do to get their soldiers ready. I get that. That makes sense to me. If you're going to hype this up as war and battle, don't be surprised when they're trying to literally plant flags like we do in war, or they're actually fighting like we do in war. These are young men. Don't expect them to handle anything differently. So as far as I'm concerned, anybody that hyped this up as that kind of thing, shut your mouth. You got nothing to say about this. You're part of the reason they do this.
Well, I don't disagree with everything you just said there. I mean they've always built this, you know, Michigan and Ohio State game. They've built that up. I mean, it's just the same as when they did Florida State and Oklahoma. You know, when they do all these rivalries, they build them up to make them out to be this way. It gets to the point in that it's getting old.
Yeah, and I want to be real clear, too. I do love the buildup.
Oh, yeah,
I love the hype, but I don't think you need to use the war analogies and the violent analogies and all that. I love rivalries. We spent a show talking rivalries.
Not too long ago.
I love all of that. I think it's one of the cool things about football, and one of the especially cool things about college football and high school football. But again, it has a line in the sand. The words we use, the tone we use, the way we approach these things. It wasn't always this way. We've always talked history. I remember as a kid, there was at least before the game, there'd be a 3 or 4 minute clip of old footage and all that. And I ate it up. I loved it.
I still do.
We kind of get a little of that now, but now it's also surrounded by Gus Johnson and all these people talking about the battle of hate and, you know, the clean old hate and some of these things. And look, okay, that's cool, but don't be surprised, and that's what you get. You're going to get battles. You're going to get people thinking that stuff when it's not that. It's football, and it matters, and it means something, but at the end of the day, it ain't ever anything more than a, you know, pride or a win or a loss or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Man, like I said, everything you said, I agree with on that one. So,
real quick, I know it is rough for Badger fans right now and the way that the season went and everything, but I genuinely think that you can feel better than Ohio State fans right now. I really do. It's thin, but I think you can. I think you can feel better.
I've got a little bit different take on this whole thing with Ryan Day and everyone saying, got to get rid of him. Okay, and it's something that we talked about the other week, too, about people going nuts, Get rid of Fickle. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. Get rid of him. Okay. Which I agree with you. Getting rid of Fickle is a poor idea. I don't like that idea. I don't like the idea of getting rid of Ryan Day in the regard of what has he done in the Big Ten? What, 40-something and one other than playing Michigan? Okay, and that one happened this year against Oregon, and it was kind of controversial how it happened, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's played Michigan five times, lost four. And Ohio State fans, and I've got a few friends that are over in that area, they're losing their minds. Fire him, fire him, fire him, fire him. And I throw those stats back at him, and I'm like, didn't he win a title? Or he played for a title not that long ago? Okay, you know how stupid you sound?
Yeah.
You sound like
yeah.
the same people saying, get rid of Luke Fickle when he's just had barely two seasons, and he's still trying to implement what he does. People can say, well, that's a horrible take, and that's apples and oranges. I'm like, how? You guys have your bar set so high here that you are complaining about losing one game a year to one team. Yeah, it's your biggest rival. I mean, I wish Wisconsin was in the middle of a 30 straight win over Minnesota, for crying out loud. But like when they were 15 years ago, it was about 15 straight. So I understand being mad, but who are you going to replace him with? And where's he going to go? I mean, he's not going to go to Michigan, I don't think. But let's just say he wanders into Madison. You know what all he's going to bring with him? Sure, a circus, but he's probably going to put Wisconsin right back on the map pull it out of mediocrity, which it is at the moment, because I do think Fickle's going to turn it around. But the problem is you have to give him the time to do it.
Yeah.
Like what I've always said about Dan Campbell in Detroit. If they gave him the time, I was concerned about how good Detroit was going to get. Mm. And my concerns are realization now because they gave him the time to do it. And now, well, if they give Fickle the chance, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he won't turn around.
But I think
he will. Yeah. And that's the thing. You are, as Ohio State fans, you are so spoiled, just like a lot of people, like a lot of fan bases, Packers for that example, Oklahoma for so long, that, okay, you're so spoiled that you can't stand losing to your rival.
Yeah.
And that's, now you want to fire a guy just because he loses one game? Oh, come on, you never do that to Schembechler. You never do that to Woody Hayes.
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't do it to Alvarez.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have even done it to the best, I don't think.
No, Tressel?
Yeah.
No.
When I'm talking about Ryan Day, I'm talking about his job security, any of that, I have to admit my bias. I don't think he should lose his job, but I want him to, just for the drama.
Yeah,
just for the storylines.
I get you.
And because of exactly what you said, man, Ohio State doesn't appreciate what they have. And if it takes something like this to happen for them to you know, maybe brought down a notch and be humbled a little bit, I'd like to see that for Ohio State fans.
Who did the song? You don't know what you got till it's gone.
Yeah, yeah. Because now I don't think he should. And if they're smart over there, they'll let this breathe a little bit, see how that goes in the playoffs, and go from there. But there's nothing rational about being a college football fan.
No.
There's nothing rational about it. Kev, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Did you have anything before we let you go?
That's something I can wait till if we do it on Friday. So.
Sounds good, man. Yeah, we'll be here Friday, and we're looking forward to hanging out with you then.
Good hearing you, buddy.
Yeah, thank you, brother.
All right,
thank
guys,
you.
Have a good day.
You too. Appreciate the call and appreciate all of you out there. Before we go to break, I did want to remind everybody that right now as they open their doors, our good friends at the Wisconsin Elks Lodge, number 693 at 430 West Jackson Street, got bingo going on. Head on over there. Enjoy some bingo at 630. Their doors are open right now. Support those that support this community and our good friends at the Elks Lodge. Have some fun over there. Good luck, everybody playing tonight. We will take a timeout. Michael and I be back. Talk some high school sports. Want to talk about the NFL and Hall of Fame. We got to get to our Gotta Have It game. All of that coming up right here on Playmakers, which is proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Getting your words out right here in Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Michael and James hanging out with you. Phone lines are wide open. Hit us in the numbers, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. I'm going to get into some high school sports in just a moment here. I want to talk that with you in our schedule, Michael. Also want to let everybody know that we got some River Kings tickets here to give away.
Ooh.
Call up at any point during the next half an hour. Give us your favorite hockey player, favorite hockey moment, anything hockey related, and get yourself some River Kings tickets. Help our boys of Winter build hockey up and down the river. We got some home games coming up this weekend, Michael.
Next weekend too.
I should be letting you rest your voice. What am I doing?
No. But hey, I got some breaking news out of that right now. One of the players of the month, they do that for each division in the USPHL. premier level of play. And Guillaume Turcotte, or Turcotte, I should say, he was named the goalie of the month for the River Kings. So he's had an outstanding part of the season So it's great to see him get that honor for
a young, player, you know, to get that kind of encouragement. That means something, you know?
Yeah, I know Coach Paul said that he maybe didn't have the start to the season he wanted, but he's kicking it in the backside now, and boy, between him and Shaw and even Pod Gurney. I mean, Pod Gurney maybe he's had a little bit of tough stretch right now, but those boys have really been keeping the other team out of the back of the net, and that's why the River Kings are tied for first place in the division right now.
We had a great conversation, Randy and I and Coach Paul, on Monday, and one of the things he was noting was our goalies. And,
yes.
And kind of the difference from last year to this year with the type of player we have in between the pipes there. But the production we're seeing is very similar. When we get that, now that we've got that consistency, now that we've got a couple of games, we're into the season here, and these guys have had some showcases and some reps, if we can be honest. And similar to football, where you see guys, especially right before a game, really hitting each other because your body's got to get used to that. What it physically feels like. Practice can't give you that.
No.
Goalies need that in real game experience. What it feels like to get a puck to the face mask. What it feels like to play in the third, going into a third period, and your legs are wobbly or anything like that. At this age and this experience level for these kids to have this, and then to have something like that coming into this weekend. More power to them. That's cool. That's a good story right there.
Yeah. I mean, this is they got, who is it, Minnesota Blue Ox this weekend. They're tied for fifth. And I know that's one thing Coach Paul talked about was this past stretch that they just got done with was one where got to try to be about 500 coming out of that. Split the Detroit showcase. You got to take a bunch of wins where you can get them.
Yeah.
Like that one weekend where they played at the Dells and had the two against the Express. I think those are the last home games, come to think about it. You need to take two out of three, and they did that. And then they went up and played, I think, the Mullets or Squatch, I can't remember.
Yeah.
And they ended up losing in a shootout, so they split points, and then they came back and won the last night, and they got the full two and didn't give up any. So, I mean, that's the thing that if you're going to lose a game, let it be in overtime to where you only give up 1 point, you still pull up a point and just go from there.
Looking forward to having some River Kings hockey on our radio dial over on WIRI, our sister station, this weekend and next weekend, as Michael mentioned there. And some high school sports as well, of course. We got some breaking news of our own here to be able to mention about next week. But before we get there, Michael, as far as our schedule goes, tonight, be sure to stick around at 7:05, the Wisconsin Hockey Hour. Wisconsin Badger hockey has been strong. It's been great to catch this season. This Badger sports, this winter Badger sports, are going to be exciting. They're going to be fun. On the ice and on the court. And speaking of on the court, tomorrow at 6:05, we got the Greg Gard Show. Be sure to join us for that right here at WFHR. Looking forward to it. As we mentioned, Kevin, earlier, we're here for Playmakers on Friday, 5 o'clock. Seth and I will be hanging out with you. Looking forward to that. And looking forward to leading you into some great Badger hockey at 6:30 on Friday. Wisconsin men taking on Michigan State. Always a good one. And then, of course, on our sister station on 105.5 WIRI, 7 o'clock puck drop. Our pregame kicks off as the River Kings take on the Minnesota Blue Ox. Mike and Seth have that for you. Saturday, same start time for that game as well. Excited about the River Kings. Excited about the season and the way it's going, as we were just touching on there. And the Badger hockey team has been fun too. But I want to take a focus to Wisconsin or high school sports for a second there, Michael. And next week, we're going to be covering some good games for you. We've got a great one, Auburndale versus Assumption. At Assumption, girls basketball, 7:15 next Tuesday. Randy Paul going to be on the call for that one. That's going to be a great game. But the Assumption girls team, just to kick this off, talking high school sports with you, one thing that they have that I think is maybe the most important thing in sports going forward, and no matter what the sport we're talking about, and maybe it's always been this way and it's just been more evident now, but they have depth.
Yes, they do.
And I don't know if there's anything that means more in sports. the big three in basketball, or looking at what the Miami Dolphins did in the offseason a couple of years ago and everything, you bring in these big pieces, and they go along beside other big pieces, and it yep. looks really good on paper. And it seems like not a bad idea, and it's a model and they've used in sports for a long time. It doesn't mean what it used to. And it doesn't do what it used to, because you take up so much on the roster with that, and you don't have the depth that you could. We're seeing it more and more in sports. The Assumption girls team last year, this was an issue for them, not having yes. the depth that they needed.
Well, it was two things, really. The depth, because they had injuries pull up, and we were just sitting there saying, who's coming up now? And they didn't really have an idea. And scoring droughts, that was the other part that really did them in the year before and last year. But to your point, man, this year... Oh, boy. You got your starters going through that. You know, you got Claire Nelson. Then you got, after that, Sarah Shaw, Jordan Jaglinski, Addie Vollert, and then Anna Schooley. Well, then after that, Riley Stableski. She comes in off the bench. There's a couple others in there as well. But there's some freshmen that will be coming up and seeing more and more minutes. That, boy, you're talking about a team that's already first week of the season, they're ranked number one in the state in Division Five. Boy, you know, it's a long season. They're going to drop a game or two. Yeah, they will. Yeah. It's inevitable.
Yeah.
But at that Division Five level, where the enrollment traditionally is low, you have that 6, 7, 8 deep rotation. That is very outstanding, my friend.
It's nice to see, especially for the players from last year coming into this year, of course, with those reps. They've got the experience that they didn't have maybe last year, of course, mm-hmm. and having that going into this is only going to add to it as well. It looks like could be a really exciting winter here with our high school sports, certainly high school girls sports. On the other side of things with the boys, are anything standing out to you in an early part of the season, coming out of the Cranberry Classic, any of that?
There's actually a bit, and I mean, got to dance around a few different teams with it. Nakusa, boy, they're good. They're all right. They're tough. They are without one of their leading guy, Nash Kretschmar. He's got some health stuff going on. Nothing serious, but he's just got to get that sorted out before he can play. And it might be after Christmas by the time he can play, I was told. So hopefully he, young man, comes back soon, and hopefully everything's all right with him. But they found ways to win without him. And that started down in the post play with big Fran Vega. He was a big factor into that. And Braden Lochner. Those two, I mean, Fran's a tall young man.
Yeah.
Braden, not as tall, but he's a thick-bodied, muscular young man as well. That, boy, those two down low, physical, Port beat them, but they were sometimes more physical than Port, and no offense to our Assumption friends there, but they beat up Assumption down low. Now, scoring-wise, they can get it done there, too. Jordan Posh, he can shoot the three. He can cut through the lane. Greg Gershmel, he's another one. I said Lochner already. Those are some talented ball players that can score from range or in the paint, and they did well from the free throw line. So this might be one of the better Nakusa teams in recent history on the boys' side, and they've got a tough – man, they've got a tough league. The Wisconsin Dells, I think they're ranked number 10 in D3. Westfield's going to be tough. Watoma is always tough. Adams is always tough. They've always got a good program.
Adams is always tough.
I mean, it's maybe not as tough as it was when Coach Kloss was there, and they were going and battling for state titles, but they were good. They're good. They're scrappy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, you have that with Nakusa. Man, Port can score from just about anywhere.
I was a little, I don't want to say surprised, because all of this is kind of surprising. It's high school sports. It's not like there's a ton of preview to it, but I was a little impressed by that. Port, and the team that they put together over there.
They can, they're going to score from everywhere. I mean, they've got Brendan Beck. I mean, that was, within 2 minutes, just that first game of the year against Nakusa, he broke 1,000 career points.
Yeah,
that was awesome. And he's a very nice kid. And his dad, Coach Beck, he's awesome, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I enjoy getting to talk to them. Josh Tranel, he takes the ball up the court, and he gets great vision on where the pass is to go. Max Michaels can shoot it from range. So can Beck. But then down low, or I should say, one of the young men that I sat there and said, oh boy, didn't expect that, was Vinny Striegel coming off the bench. He can shoot a three, my friend. Wow. So he does a great job there. And then Assumption, you know, they maybe are looking to build a little more right now. But, boy, JT Schlafer, he can take over a game. And Logan Nystrom, he does a nice job, too. The thing with Assumption is they've just got to piece it together and have a couple guys step up here and there, stay out of foul trouble. That's the other factor. But Assumption, once they piece it together and in that Merriwood conference, yeah, they're going to take lumps in the Merriwood, but they're going to deliver them to other teams. And that's why I'm interested to see. I have to double check the schedule. I'm not sure if Port and Assumption play this year. I'd have to check that out. But that is one where Port's good. An Assumption, maybe the record won't show how good they are. And I'm interested to see that. And I just saw Lincoln last night. They've got some pretty good pieces to start their offense around. And I could see between Reynes and Gilbertson, and then the two Zeligowski boys, they've got some height, too. That's something Lincoln hasn't had. Now, granted, 6'3", or 6'2", and there's teams that are way bigger than that, but that's better than what Rapids has had the last few years, and you can't teach height. You can't coach it. So they have it, and some of these kids are ballers, straight up. So I'm interested to see what they do as after what I watched them do with Onalaska last night.
And you're going to see a lot more of this, in especially in rural areas when it comes to basketball. There's been an influx of a lot of young kids wanting to play basketball and take their talent into that, and I think you're going to see a lot more of this. Not only that, but going back to the depth part of it, with that you're going to see a lot more depth in these sports, I think. Looking at our schedule, real quick, nice work last night, by the way.
I appreciate it, man.
I got to catch most of the game, and it was great. You call a really good game.
I just wish people were bringing these Christmas cookies and milk when Seth plays a song.
I'm getting a little upset about that.
You know? But then the other thing I do want to just touch on quick, James, is just a couple other sports here. Rapids hockey, they had a 3-0 lead last night, but they dropped it 7-4 to Tomahawk. Tomahawk's good.
They are good.
So is Marquette High School. So Rapids, they got a short bench, but they got a lot of talent. They will get there. The other thing, big shout out to senior Kristen Radke from Lincoln girls basketball. She set the rebounds record on Monday night, so she's got 429. The record was set in 21-22 by Vanessa Vachinsky, so she had 428. So that number's just going to grow. Who knows when it will get beat. And then the other thing is tomorrow night, Wisconsin Rapids Wrestling starts up when they play, or not play, they wrestle, they duel against Wausau East up in Wausau, and that Rapids team's going to be pretty good, my friends. So you get a chance to watch the Red Raiders, and I'm trying to talk with Randy and you guys about getting a wrestling match on there.
Yes, I
know wrestling. I would love to do one against, when they play, gosh, I can't keep doing that, when they wrestle against Marshfield late in the season on a Thursday. Boy, that would be a dandy of a match.
I have no doubt that, especially because, man, it feels good to talk Rapids wrestling again. It's been a while.
They're going to be loaded.
We just had a great conversation a couple weeks ago with Terry Steak. It would be, you know, kind of a, I mean, it's in our blood here. We have to talk wrestling.
I'm watching that match, and you watch me watch a match. You see me tense up and lean, and when I'm not obviously on the air, I sit there and I talk to myself through. I'm like, don't do that. Oh, hit it. Yeah, you know, that kind of stuff. So, and then, of course, Nakusa, they start this weekend at Black River Falls.
Going to Lincoln during some of those prime years of Rapids dominating in wrestling and everything, it's hard not to be a wrestling fan coming from there. And then working here with Terry and how passionate he was about it and everything. I look forward to that. I look forward to also these games coming up. Again, just to give you a little preview of what's coming up for us here. Next Tuesday, December 10th, Auburndale at Assumption Girls, 7:15, Randy Paul going to be on the call for that one. On Tuesday, December 17th, we've got Sparta at Lincoln High School Boys, and that Assumption team that you're talking about, we'll see them, or we'll hear them, I should say, Friday, December 20th, Adams Friendship at Nakusa, boys basketball. All of this can change because it's life. We're talking high school sports, and we're talking a lot of individuals who got a lot of things going on, but that's what we're looking forward to covering and bringing you as we try to bring you as much high school sports as possible. Be sure to also check out our newsletter, everybody. Not only can you hear Michael here at Playmaker, Lakers and on these game calls and everything. But Michael's spoken word is just as good. Check out his word, our newsletter. I appreciate all the work you've been putting into that, man.
I just got to do a couple edits on mine, and I'll get it sent out to Melissa tonight. And
excellent.
I've actually got the next 2 weeks kind of figured out. So
right on. Doesn't it feel good to get a little ahead on that stuff?
Oh, yeah, because I mean, I get so many ideas that pop through this simple mind, I lose them right away.
Yeah,
it's
you.
Like a dog that catches a car. What am I going to do when I have one?
I got every day 16 segments to do for our morning shows, and yep. I'm in the same boat where I don't have enough segments. I still don't have enough. I hear you. Check out the newsletter. Sign up for it. We got a new edition coming out tomorrow. WFHR.com takes a couple seconds, and spread the word about the newsletter, too. It's your one-stop shop for all Central Wisconsin news, including sports that Michael brings us. We'll be back with more Playmakers here, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids. We got to run. We're almost out of here. 5 minutes left to show.
I ain't running anywhere.
No.
Well, supper, never mind.
Yeah.
Get out of my way.
Yes.
I'm like the 80s fat group, rap group, the Fat Boys.
Fat Boys. I love the reference. Nicely done.
Michael fat group, rap here. Group, they were both.
It works. It works for both. As we're wrapping up, do want to talk a little NFL schedule with you. Before we do, though, I did want to mention really quickly, a big shout out to Mike Holmgren. Of course, Mike Holmgren, for NFL Super Bowl coach and all that, and winner, has been nominated for one of the nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame coaching finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So congratulations to him. And it's in the seniors category, former Packers wide receiver Sterling Sharp, Max Bonien, and linebacker also linebacker Max Bonien have been nominated as well. Mike Holmgren, I think, should be in there. No questions asked. I don't think that's
Sterling
much.
Sharp, too. But now here's my question. Is Bonien a shoo-in?
Nicely done. No, that was perfect, man. That was good. It needed to be done. I just got sidetracked with the Sterling Sharp thing because that's one of my favorite players of all time. And I
unbelievable.
I think if he had just 2-3 more seasons, we wouldn't be talking about this. He's in the Hall of Fame.
His easily. Number might be retired. In Green Bay.
Yeah. I like seeing. We don't know if he. And he's probably not going to get very much farther than this, maybe. But I really love the idea that we're talking about it and we're remembering a career that deserves to be remembered.
Yeah.
Okay. Just wanted to get that in
absolutely,
there.
Absolutely, buddy.
When it comes to the college and pro football, a little bit of a shorter schedule this week with college, of course, but the games mean more and they are big ones. Then you've got, of course, the NFL schedule, which has got some interesting games on it, especially I think the biggest game of the week, certainly here in state, is this going to happen tomorrow. You got Green Bay traveling to Motown to take on Detroit. That one's going to be, I think, even with it being early in the week, the game of the week.
I agree with you.
All these other games on here, they're interesting, but
San Francisco, Chicago, sort of. In the regards, and that's maybe more for San Francisco because time's running out.
Right,
they're going to have to quote unquote burn the boats in San Fran against the Bears of all teams. Believe it or not,
you can't lose that game.
You can't,
San Francisco.
If you do, you're done. Throw the dang.
We don't
towel.
Have to talk about you anymore. You're done for the year. Done at least this year. Same thing with interestingly, a burn the boats game for both teams in the Jets and the Dolphins.
Yes,
both teams have to win that game. Otherwise, we're done talking about you for the rest of the
more
year.
More so Miami. I think the Jets. The Jets have crashed. The Dolphins, that's one.
Interesting game for Detroit and Green Bay, where it doesn't mean anything as far as if you win or lose this game that your season's over, but there's so much at stake at the same time.
This one, I would say it's more of a burn the boats game for Green Bay, because you don't win this, you're probably not going to win the division. If they do, and these are the games that not too many people are giving Green Bay credit or chance in, and I've noticed this over the years, when you count Green Bay out, that's usually when they pull a rabbit out and they get the job done. So that would be, if Green Bay can beat Detroit, and Green Bay can win out, and if you look at that schedule, it is possible. And maybe I'm being an optimist too, but you look at the schedule, it's possible. I mean, you got to play Chicago. You got to go to Minnesota. You're home against New Orleans. You got to go to Seattle. None of those teams really scare me, to be honest with you. And now you beat Detroit, you give them their second loss. Then you've got to hope, well, maybe Buffalo beats them. Well, now you're at the same record as them, and all then you got to go tiebreaker in the division. Maybe Minnesota can surprise them on the last week. Who knows?
Here's the thing: if you're Green Bay, that you're so playing with house money here. You've got a team that we play at Lambeau, cool. We play in another cold weather place, cool. But if we play in a dome, cool too. That's great for us. You can't lose. Like you can't like you've got like a team, something that every team is like the team that just came to town with the Dolphins and teams like that, that they're just a team like that gets into the playoffs and they got to beg and hope that they get things going their way. Even if the Dolphins season had gone the way they wanted it to, without a home game, they're done. They're done. Green Bay don't have to worry about that. Jordan Love just got done telling you he loves playing in domes. He likes playing in those things, and he's obviously proven he can play in the cold. You got Josh Jacobs that it doesn't matter. You can put that kid on Mars and he's going to get you 150.
Yep.
Like you've got these things going for you. So yeah, I hear you. And everybody would like to play a home game and stuff. But if you're Green Bay, you're playing in a sense where you can't really you can spin it almost either way where it works out for you.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, go wherever you want. I mean, look what they did. They just crushed Dallas last year in Lambeau Field South. What it's turned into, because Green Bay hasn't lost in that building. Yeah. And then you go to San Francisco and you kind of give that game away too. But you can go to these places and win. I mean, they've proven they can go to Detroit. They've proven they can go to Minnesota. They've proven they can go all these places and win. And then college-wise, quick, the one burn the boat game that I have there, Big 12 title game, Iowa State, Arizona State. Yeah. That one, if you win, and depending on how some of these teams lose on championship weekend, you might sneak in.
Yeah, yeah. Which would be really cool to see. I'm excited about UNLV and Boise State, but boy, Georgia and Texas. That's a beautiful
That'll
one.
Go be a brawl.
Great show today, man.
Yeah,
great
you
show.
Too, buddy. Always love being here.
Thanks to everybody out there for listening. Keep up listening with us on Friday. We'll be back here for more.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.